said if we would bring the tithes and the offerings into your storehouse, that you'd open up the windows of heaven and you'd pour out wholeness upon us. And Lord, we thank you. And you just said that the devourer would be rebuked off of our lives. We thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Tuesday morning we have prayer at 6:30. And then Tuesday night there's healing rooms and mission at 7 p.m. And we have Bible study at 6 p.m. here. And healing rooms at 7 here. I know that you, Nan said that y'all sang happy birthday to Sandy last week. But Sandy's birthday was the 30th. Juan's is the 5th, right? So we're going to sing happy birthday to both of them. Amen? Because I didn't get to sing happy birthday to Sandy. And I didn't do it at the office. I didn't sing because you don't want to hear me sing too loud. Maybe we should have had two songs. Praise God. Vanelli, it is good to have you back. You know what she told me? She said, well, I'm glad to be home, but, you know, you want to share anything with us about your time? She's learning how to do the controls too. We're going to have everybody's going to be smarter in this place. Huh? You can do whatever you want to do, young lady. Bless you. Amen. Praise God. You know, I wanted to pray, and I want to share something a little bit before I get into the message. I want us to pray for Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem is, or Israel is really going through it. Israel is the apple of God's eye. That is the place. Jerusalem is the place where Jesus is going to rule and reign the earth. That's the center of the earth, Jerusalem. And you know, I know we don't even those. Some of us know certain things, and we know things, we hear things, we study things, but we don't really I don't think we can comprehend exactly what God has in store for Israel, for Jerusalem. You know, when it says that Jesus is going to rule and reign, his throne is in Jerusalem. And everyone is coming to Jerusalem to worship. I mean, it kind of, you know, we think over here in the United States, we're somebody, you know. But Jerusalem. When I got something in the mail, not in the mail, email, from Kurt Landry, who's a rabbi, but the 4th and 5th of August is, and I cannot say the word, you know, it's but what it is, it's a day of commemoration, the remembrance, a day of remembrance of when the first and second temples were destroyed. And that's August the 4th. It starts at nightfall on August the 4th and goes through nightfall August the 5th. It's a day of remembrance. And so he's encouraging people to remember. And in this, let me count them. Thirteen different events that happened on that time that are recorded days of remembrance. In other words, one of them was when the spies returned from the 40 days going out and checking on Israel. Then then another event was the destruction of the first temple, the destruction of the second temple. And it goes on and on and on. So it's a day of remembrance of what God. And we need to remember and be praying that we see negative things happening. But it's a time for the intercessors and the prophets to stand up for God. Stand up for Israel. Pray for Israel. Amen. He is calling us to be awakened. And we need to be praying that the truth will come forth. I mean, we hear we know the truth, but we hear all the lies. I mean, the media is so negative towards Israel. They think Israel is the one that's doing all the bad things. And it's not, you know, reality is the terrorist. But we just need to be, I just encourage all of us to just be praying. And God says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The peace of Jerusalem. And I don't think we really have an idea of what the peace of Jerusalem means. We think peace is everything's going to be peaceful. And I don't know whether that's true or not. I'm not going to speculate. But God says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. What we need to pray is that God's will. God's will be done. Amen? That His will be done in Jerusalem. That He'll have His way. Praise God. Sally, would you like to pray for Jerusalem?
Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If these ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me. And we know that those things will never happen.
Amen.
This is a scripture about God's faithfulness to Israel, that she will never be destroyed.
Amen.
So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, We just ask, Father, that the gates will be opened in Jerusalem this day and forevermore, Lord, that the King of Glory will be there in their midst, Lord, guiding them, directing them. Give them wisdom. Give them strength in you, Lord God. Give them courage, Lord. We ask, Father God, that you will protect those that are in the battle right now. We ask, Father, that the truth be revealed. That the lies of the enemy will be destroyed. We ask, Father God, that their eyes will be open to their Messiah, Lord, as you are testing them right now, Lord God. That they'll open their eyes to see the true and living God. We ask, Father, that as the scriptures in the Old Testament are read on these days, Lord God, that they will see you in those scriptures. We place her in your hands, Lord, and we know that you're the God that sees the end from the beginning. And we thank you, Lord, what you're doing there. We praise you, Lord, because we know that one day we will meet you in Jerusalem, all of us, mm-hmm. and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord of lords and King of kings. In Jesus' name.
Nan reminded me when we were singing, worshiping, that album that Paul Wilbur did. He did it in Jerusalem. It was recorded live in Jerusalem. So it's, you know, it's what we were singing. It was done live in Jerusalem. Well, praise God. You know, I mean, there was anointing. Yeah.
In the midst of this battle, the children, just like it was in the Old Testament, just like it was, the children were put out there. And so that song that we've all sung as children, bless the children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. So that was on my heart last night. And I see the children coming in here, the children over there. The children in Palestine, you know, the children in Africa maybe that are having to battle this Ebola that's coming to the country. So the innocent children. So that was just on my heart last night. And I just asked that y'all would join me in prayer for the children.
Amen.
That God will watch over them.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just lift up the children all over this all over the nation, all over the world. Lord, the innocent children who have been abused, who have been mistreated, Lord, we just lift them up to you. And we just ask that your grace and your mercy, we just place them in your hands. And we thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I'm going to share something this morning that I'm praying that it'll come through the way the Spirit was speaking to me. It was during time of meditation, time of study in the morning, and I'd been reading certain scripture and then this, it just really, really spoke to me. This goes beyond faith. You know, we talk so much about faith and everything else, but this, and I'm hoping that you pray with me that I can say what's in my spirit, because this is the next step. I call it a next step. It's really the first step. I made copies of my notes. So if you want copies of, because it's one of those things that I think you need to take home. You need to pray. You need to meditate. You need to This is, and I've shared it with Nan, and I'll probably touch on it again. But I know when Nan was going through the brain tumor while we were in Pensacola in Bible school, and, you know, we say, okay, we prayed, we knew that God was going to heal her, and it didn't look like God was healing. I mean, if anything else, she was going downhill. And one day I came home from school. I mean, I was going to Bible school when all of this was happening. Came home, and I thought she'd just given up. I thought she just said, well, you know. But God had really showed her something. And I see now we call it the real faith. I'm calling it, and this is trust God. The name of the message is trust God. And we're going to see what trust God really is. What it is. So just bear with me, and I'm just praying that this is going, because if I can get out what's in my spirit and you receive it, it could be to the next level. Amen. I want Wanda to read Psalms 22, verses 1 through 4.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the presence and the praises of Israel. Our Father trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them.
You know, as we read those scriptures, and we're very familiar with the scriptures, that here David was crying out to God. Then Jesus used the same scriptures. My God, why have you forsaken me? Have you ever come to that place that you cried out, my God, why have you, you know, have we ever got that? And in verse 3 it says, yet you are holy. Yet you are holy. Oh, you are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. You know, the holiness of God is the most important fact of all creation. It's more important than his compassion and his mercy and his grace, because holiness is the guarantee that whatever God does, he does it with absolute moral perfection, without any trace of second agendas or any hint of compromise. That's holiness. I mean, we live in a world of second agendas. We live in a world of compromise. I mean, everything is about compromise. But remember what was said in Hebrews. They used the scripture from Deuteronomy. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise that the holy God of Israel said. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Praise God. I mean, it's in all of the stuff and everything that goes on. And when you cry, my God, why have you? And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Holiness is the expression of God's essential character, because God is holy. Because he's holy, he is utterly trustworthy and total reliable. You know, the answer to the question, why have you forsaken me, is this. If I felt as though God had forsaken me, stop and think about this. If I felt that God has forsaken me, I'm the one who needs correction, not God. God never does anything that does not issue from support and confirm His holiness. Holiness, His holiness, guarantees that He'll never fail to be who He is. God is God who reveals Himself. He'll never fail to do so. He'll continually reveal Himself. The answer may not be the one I want. I don't know if y'all have lived long enough to go through some things. It's not the answer that it's not what I wanted. I want God to fix things. But my faith says that I can trust. But my faith says that I can trust who He is. I do not place my faith in what He does. Not about what He does, it's who He is. In verse 4, it says, "And you, our Father, trusted." They trusted, and you delivered them. We can find dozens of uses of the verb trusted in the Bible. And the Hebrew word is batach, B-A-T-A-C-H, which I never can spell and pronounce any of it. But there's dozens of words in the Bible that use the verb trusted. It's exhorting and commanding trust in God. I mean, Israel was commanded to trust God. But they're less than a handful. I mean, a few of the words that say the people of Israel did trust God. And this is one of them. But they trusted God. You know, we're so used to the idea that Israel trusted God that we fail to recognize that the most of the uses of trusting God false trust. It certainly means to feel secure, to be unconcerned, to rely on something, someone, or something. But most of the time we find that people find security in the wrong things. There's a whole list of those things, but just a few of them are wealth. People trust in wealth. They trust in households. They trust in military might. They trust in political alliances. They trust in other people. They even trust in religious rituals. And last but not least is they trust them in themselves. The Bible really says it plainly. You know, the Bible's a real plain book, and sometimes it really speaks plain. Anyone who places security in these things will be confounded. Disappointment stands on the wings, ready to jump at center stage when you trust in things. When you trust in things, you're getting ready. You're going to get disappointed. You know, if we're foolish enough to trust in what the world has to offer as substitutes for what God has, we'll discover sooner or later that we made a terrible mistake. I think we've all been through some of that. Amen. We've all been through some of those things. Many, many times, we put our trust in biblical eras. Money, power, influence, even intimacy. I mean, you can trust in intimacy with God and not trust in Him. I mean, if we preach intimacy, so much around here. But those can be substitutes for really the real security. The answer in this verse, and you, our fathers, trusted, and they trusted, and you delivered them. The answer is not in what it says, but in what it implies. The verse does not say that the fathers trusted in God because he delivered them. When we read it, sometimes that's what we think. That's what we're thinking it says. But that's not what it says. So what's the difference? If I trust God because I believe that he will do such and such and such, then my faith is not really in God, but in the subsequent action he will perform on my behalf. Are y'all getting where I'm going in this? It's beyond faith in what he's going to do. It's faith in him. It's trust him. We're trusting, if I believe that he'll do such and such and such and such, I have faith in his deeds, not in him. But if I trust God simply for who he is, then he can respond in grace and mercy toward me. Why? Because I've learned to trust a person, not an action. Doesn't make any difference what happened. I'm trusting him. Our fathers, it says in the scripture, our father trusted him. And then he delivered him. I mean, I think it could have just left off that. And you delivered them. Because first they trusted him. We come to the place that we have an intimate, secure relationship based on his character. It's about a relationship based on his character. Of course, we all know the first step to that. The first step of that is we have to be born again. Amen? It says in John 3:3, Jesus said, you can't even see the kingdom of God. He was talking to Nicodemus. If you're not born again, until we give our life to him, we accept him as our Lord and Savior, as we confess our sins, we can't even start. We can't even start to trust and have that relationship. Trust is the flip side of holiness. If God is holy, then I'm duty bound to trust him. Either I trust God because I know who he is, or my relationship with him is a sham, even if I pledge my love, honor, and obedience. It's kind of like a marriage. You know, the marriage vows today are I pledge my love, my honor, and obedience. It leaves out the most important thing is trust. If you don't have trust, you don't have a relationship. Amen? If we don't trust, if I don't trust my wife, I don't have a relationship with her. It's the same thing with God. We trust him. I can trust who he is when I know who he is. So we need to ask God to reveal himself in his holiness to us. And that's a revelation. I mean, we need to ask God, God, you give me a revelation in my spirit, a revelation of your holiness, who you are. So many times we are constantly seduced into placing our trust in the list of false security because we're looking for action items and not a person, not a relationship with that person. When I have that relationship, I can trust him. Like I said, it might not be the way I wanted it to be, but I know he's looking out for my good in the end. Amen? We have not stepped forward in faith and anchored our lives in the character of God so many times. We're looking for the thing. Now I'm going to say something that so many times we have faith in healing, but we're looking to the healing and not the healer. We talk about it in the healing rooms. Present the healer. Let the healing come. It's the healer. Who he is. Who God is. So many times we don't understand what it means for God to be holy. We think of God in terms of actions, what he's doing. Our vocabulary many times reflects this. When we're asked to describe what's the message of the Bible in a single word, so many times we come up with love, mercy, or forgiveness. Have you ever thought about what do you say the Bible is in the Word? Very few of us first think of what we say the Bible is holy. God is a holy God. God is a holy God. We sing the song, God send the fire, burn up all the dross. God is a holy God. And we're geared toward God's acts. That's the way we're all geared. We've been geared. Amen? We need to change. We need to change and be geared of who he is. I can trust him for who he is, not trust what he's going to do. I don't put my trust in what he does. I put my trust in him because he's a holy God. He's a holy God, and when we put our trust in him, he can pour out his mercy. He can pour out his grace. He can pour out. You know, and I look at the situation in Israel today. We can trust that God's doing. We can trust him. Not about what he's what we expect him to do, but we trust him. Trust him because he is holy. And so I'm just praying that we will come and understand and get the revelation of trusting him, not in what we want him to do, Not in the acts, but just trust Him. Just trust Him. It doesn't really make any difference what happens. Amen. It's trust Him. And I'll guarantee you, in eternity, and sometimes it'll be in eternity, that we'll see His grace and His mercy and His love is poured out. It might not be what I want today, because I live so many times in a now time. I mean, we're all guilty of that. Amen? We're all guilty of living now. I've got to have this now. I've got to have that now. I've got to do this now. And I could get on, you know, some of this stuff, but I'm gonna quit. I'm not gonna meddle. But I just want us to, this morning is just pray. Father, let's just all pray, bow our heads. Father, we come to You today. God, You're a holy God. Lord, we look to You. And we say with the children of Israel in Psalms 22, verse 4, we trust You. We trust You because You're a holy God. And Lord, we know that You're going to pour out Your mercy and Your grace. And Lord, open our spiritual eyes. Give us revelation so that we will understand to trust You. What it means to really, really trust You. And we thank You. And we magnify You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Like I said, if you want...